I want to just share a couple of thoughts from Scripture. There's really not much left to say. So much has been said about Bob that honors him, and that more importantly honors the Lord that he loved and served, that made him the man that he was and is. But I do want to just share a couple of thoughts that I hope will be an encouragement to us. Words of hope for the future, but also words of challenge for our own life. Because if there's one thing that Bob would want, it would be that we would respond to God and what he says to us in this moment. One of my deepest prayers for my own life is that I would finish strong. I had just this week the opportunity to talk with a young relative of mine who's maybe 18 or 19 and really getting lost. And just share, hopefully, a little wisdom. I don't know if he's ready to receive it or not. I pray for him. Sharing even my own journey of, you know, not really having it all together at 18 or 19. Not that I've got it all together now either, but perhaps being a little better connected with the grace of God and the Spirit of God. And I just think for my young relative, for all of us, how we start, that's important. But how we finish is far more important. And when I think about Bob, I was thinking this week about him. And a verse in 1 Corinthians came to my mind. This is how one should regard us. This is the Apostle Paul talking. He says, this is how I want you to look at me. This is how one should regard us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. That's how Paul wanted to be remembered, the greatest follower of Jesus who ever lived, one of the greatest men who ever lived, one of the most influential and significant people in history, one of the brightest and best. And he said, this is what I want you to remember me as a steward who is found faithful, as a servant of Christ. And I found those words encouraging for me, and I found them appropriate for Bob. It doesn't say, for it's required of stewards that they be found perfect, which I'm very grateful for. You know, I'm not perfect. Bob certainly wasn't perfect. In fact, it's out of his very imperfections that God birthed great things. And he continued to be gloriously imperfect to the day that he died. And Paul himself says in 1 Timothy, sometimes having struggle, he continued to seek to be a servant who was found faithful. Jesus, in one of the last stories he told, he told about a king leaving or a man departing and calling in his servants. And he said to them, here's some money that I will give you to invest on my behalf while I'm gone. And he distributes to each of the different servants according to his will, according to their ability. Each one's giving something a little bit different. And while he is gone, then they use what they have the best that they can for their master's purposes. And then one day the master calls them before him to give an accounting. And here's what he says to one of them. The one who had received the 5 talents came forward bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents, and here I've made 5 talents more. And his master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. It's a story Jesus actually told about the end of days when he's going to make everything right all at once. But it applies to each of us individually, I think, as well, because at different times throughout history, each of us has our appointed day where we stand before our master. And none of us knows when that is. And it may be just a few days shy of our 79th birthday. Bob's would be tomorrow. Or it may be young. It may be an extreme age. We just don't know. Some of us may even live to the point where Jesus comes back and we may get to see him face to face without ever tasting death. But at one point, we will all stand before him as his servants. And this servant took what he had and to the best of his ability, he used it for his master. And when the time came to stand before his master, the master said, well done, Well done. You've been faithful over the little bit I've given you. Now I have a great reward for you. And come and enter into my joy. And I think that's what Bob is experiencing right now. He took what God gave him. He took the life that he had. Warts and all. The good and the bad. And to the best that he could, just tried to walk with God in it and allowed God to use it for his glory. And people all over the world have been affected by it. Everyone in this room in one manner or another has been affected by it. And ultimately, not for Bob's glory, but for God's. And that's the way Bob would want it. And earlier this week, he had his appointment with his master. And the master called him before him. And I believe you heard the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." I don't think there's any greater testimony that could be given to a person who walks the face of this earth. Someone who, in the midst of their very humanness, just experiences the grace of Christ, stewards the grace of Christ the best that they can for God's glory, and who finishes strong. Not perfectly, but strong. And runs all the way to completion. That's a real encouragement to me. Bob Bartosz's life stands as a testimony that it can be done. And as an encouragement to a fellow pilgrim, a fellow traveler in the race, to say, keep going. And if you fall down, get back up. And if you're struggling, hang in there. But God's grace is sufficient. Just keep going so that one day you too can stand before him and hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into my joy." My question for us is, as we consider Bob's life, we also should consider our own. Some of us, many of us in this room, are followers of Jesus Christ. Many because of Bob's own influence. My question is, how are you running the race? Whenever your appointed time is, whether that's today or decades down the road, when you stand before the master and he says, how have you managed? How have you stewarded? How have you invested what I gave you? How did you use this life that you had on this earth? What will you say? Will he say, well done? Will he say, enter into the joy of your master? It's required of stewards that they be found faithful, not perfect. Some of us may have gotten off track. Some of us may have stumbled. Some of us may still not have gotten back up on our feet. Even right now, God may be speaking to us and saying, it's time. Get up and dust yourself off. My grace is sufficient. Will you let him use you? Will you let him restore you to that race? Will you let him take your life and in partnership with you do something glorious? Even out of the midst of your very humanness, do something glorious for his glory and for your good. That's what Bob understood. That's what he tried to live. And that's how God used him. How about you and me? Some of us in this room may not be followers of Christ. We're here because we love Bob and he had a deep impact. But we haven't really resolved where we stand with God. Let me just give you these words of hope and of invitation. We have confidence. There's real grief in this room. There's real heartache. There's real sadness. There's real loss. But it's not the final word. And the reason for that is not because of Bob's goodness, but because of Jesus' goodness. And because Bob accepted that. Jesus himself told his followers the night before he was to be crucified. He's about to leave them. He said to them, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be. And you know the way where I'm going. Thomas, one of his friends, said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The hope that we have here today for Bob isn't because of all that he accomplished, isn't because of the good things that he did. It isn't because of the lives that he impacted. It isn't because of the legacy that he left through ministry and family and relationship. The hope that we have for God, for Bob, is because of God and because Jesus said, I'm the way. And Bob knew that, and he accepted that. One day, I will see Bob again. I have that confidence. And from Bob's perspective, it'll seem like that. He won't, you know, we grieve and we sorrow and we struggle, and that's as it should be. There's genuine heartache. But we shouldn't and don't need to grieve for Bob. He doesn't even miss us. He's in the presence of Jesus, and before he even knows it, we'll be there with him. But that's because of what Jesus did. And my encouragement to you, I know Bob would want you to consider this. I just don't have any doubt about that. My encouragement to you would be to say, what have you done with Jesus? Not what have you done with the impact and encouragement and help that Bob gave you in your life. That's a good thing. Well, what have you done with Jesus? Because that was his source of power. And that's his source of hope. And that's our only source of hope. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He's very exclusive. And I would just encourage you. I think there's nothing greater that Bob would want me to say than that. That you would come to own Jesus as your Savior. And that you'd throw yourself on his mercy and what he has done on your behalf. He died on a cross for your sins and for mine. No one stands before God on their own merit. We're judged on our merit. But we can stand before God on Christ's merit. And by faith, by trusting him alone, turning away from everything, on just trusting in Jesus and his death on the cross and the resurrection that God brought, we can have that same eternal life. And we can have a hope that one day we will again see Bob and see many others. And most importantly, see Jesus. We'll continue with some more words of encouragement at the graveside. But right now, I'd just like to pray for us. Would you join me? Lord Jesus, it's a privilege to be here. It's a painful privilege, but it is a privilege. And as one who speaks often at such gatherings, it's particularly a privilege to me to be able to share here and now about a man who, in all of his humanness, knew and loved you and was loved by you. Thank you for his life, and thank you for the impact that he's had in our life. Lord, we will miss him, but we are so grateful for the legacy that is being written even now in the lives of the people in this room. I pray your grace for the family, especially for Pauline and all the sons and their families, and Lord, everyone else who knew and loved him. Would you just please give comfort and strength? Thank you for the time that we've had to celebrate, to worship, to grieve, and to praise. In Jesus' name, amen.